You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Wayne, the big story in a relatively sort of tepid market is the Naspers split. There's Naspers now, and there's something called Prosus in Amsterdam. What happened today?
Yes. Okay. Just a little bit of background. If you owned 100 Naspers shares,
yep,
little bit of a technicality, but you're going to end up owning 100 Prosus shares as well. So you'll own 100 Naspers and 100 Prosus shares.
Right.
Naspers has effectively taken 25% of their assets and listed it in Amsterdam under Prosus.
Right.
So in theory, the value of Naspers should have fallen by 25%, and you would be compensated for that fall in the Naspers shares by the Prosus shares you now own, everything else being equal. So the market capitalization of Prosus should be one quarter of Naspers, no other distortion in the system. Now, two things are of relevance here. The first is the Prosus shares, you only get them on Monday, and yet they started trading today. So legally speaking, these shares that you own don't exist until Monday. And yet the Naspers share price fell today.
31% or something.
I pity all the people you have got to work out unit price averages, because your probably your biggest share in your portfolio fell by 31, 32%, but you have no other asset to compensate you for that fall. And that also, the question also arises, these shares that traded in Prosus today, where did they come from? Because they don't exist until Monday. So it's an odd set of circumstances, but let's put that aside.
Yes.
The real story is Naspers should have fallen by 25-odd%, but it didn't. It fell by 31%.
Right. What does that mean?
And that means that Naspers is now at a far bigger discount against the underlying assets than what Prosus is. So in other words, today you should actually say, I don't want Prosus shares, I'd rather take my Naspers shares because they're actually cheaper. So two things to explain there. If you take your one Naspers share and your one Prosus share, let's forget you only own it on Monday, and you add them together, you made about 4% return extra.
Right.
So you're happy. However, if you were a South African taxpayer, those process shares you get, you pay full capital gains tax on the whole value. So a lot of people would say, oh, no, I don't want to pay the capital gains tax. I'd rather just get more Naspers shares, because if you don't take Prosus, you get 36 new Naspers shares for every 100 that you own, which should have compensated you for the value of the Prosus if Naspers only fell by 25%, but it fell by 33%. And what's even stranger is that you can decide, tomorrow's the deadline to decide whether you take Prosus shares or get more Naspers shares. So quite frankly, it's a little bit chaotic, all of this. To summarize it simplistically, it's a little bit chaotic.
No. However, chaos is exactly what you're describing. Why do you people, and when I say you people, I mean, why does the financial services industry make it so difficult? And so, I mean, the average investor, having listened to the last 2 minutes of your diatribe,
won't know what's happening.
No, have absolutely no idea what's going on. I mean, I'm a simpleton.
No, I hear you.
But I report upon these things every single day. I don't understand a word of what you just said. Why is it so complicated? Is it because you think you're brain surgeons, or rather the financial services? What is it then? Why not just make it simple?
Because the real problem that's been thrown into this system is twofold. Number one, it's tax. Because it's listing in Amsterdam,
yes,
if you're a South African resident, the tax status is different. So normally when a company does an unbundling, like when FirstRand got unbundled Momentum and Discovery, you just transferred a part of your capital gains tax cost to the new shares. You didn't trigger a capital gains tax event. But because it's listing in Amsterdam, it's an automatic trigger of a capital gain on these shares. So the first thing that makes it complex is tax. The second thing that makes it complex, which, by the way, and maybe I'm stupid, but I didn't think you could trade a share until it actually existed. In other words, I didn't think Prosus would trade until Monday, when all the South African shareholders, well, not all the South African shareholders, all the shareholders only get their Prosus shares on Monday, but yet it traded today. I mean, that was never made clear by anyone. We knew it was going to list today, but we just thought that would be almost a statutory listing of the share on the stock market. Because no shares existed until Monday, we thought it could only trade on Monday because these shares don't exist because the unbundling hasn't happened.
So whose responsibility was it to allow people like you? I mean, you've been in the business for 30 years. Someone should have told you as a seasoned professional that this was going to happen. But you're saying that shares that haven't even listed until Monday are being traded today. What is that?
Yeah, I've got no idea. I literally have no idea where these shares came from. So I don't know. I don't know the answer. Maybe they had a pool of shares that some other shareholders said you could trade and there's a deferred settlement option or something like that. But anyway, let's put all of that aside for a minute or two.
Let's do so.
The stock market's highly efficient. It will realize that, hang on, Prosus is trading too high and Naspers is trading too low,
right,
because they both own the same assets, eh? They don't own different assets.
No, it's just a dual listing.
There are some, technically, there's some South African assets, the print assets, that are still in Naspers that aren't in Prosus, but they're so small it's irrelevant. These two companies own the same underlying asset base. So therefore, they should trade at the same price relative to the asset base, i.e. the same discount or premium. It happens to be a discount in Naspers.
Okay.
In other words, the market will arbitrage this out. So what we're telling all our clients and what I think the right thing to do is don't panic today. Look at the prices on Monday.
Okay.
Because that's when the true volume starts to trade.
But now, what's the opportunity here? I mean, if you're a short-term trader, tomorrow's Thursday.
If you're short-term, you've got Friday, you'll
got 48 hours to make some money or lose some money.
You'll short process go long Naspers. You'll short process go long Naspers.
And if you're a hedge fund manager, go short process and long Naspers.
And long Naspers. You'll do exactly the same.
Yeah. Mm.
Because this difference, in other words, Prosus traded at 1,200 Rand a share. It should be 900. Naspers traded at 2,400. It should be 2,600.
Mm.
In other words, when you add the two together, you should come to the same total.
Yes, exactly.
But the split between the two went wonky today. And I think this is just some opportunists somehow finding these Prosus shares to trade, traded them, whereas the true volume of Prosus trade only happens on Monday. So I think the market will sort out this, let's call it, unusual set of pricing events that we have today.
I like the word wonky that you use there because I don't understand it. Buy low, sell high is the investment theory that I've always been taught since I was 18 years old. You buy something low, you sell something high. Today, there's financial engineering and the whole business of process and Naspers, after what you've just said, and two different exchanges in two different geographies and two different currencies, is incredibly complicated. And I actually feel a little bit dispirited by the whole thing, quite frankly.
I wouldn't get dispirited. This whole thing so far today, and I again stress today, is unusual because these shares, the volume only starts on Monday. The whole thing, everything that's happened today, has added value to your pocket if you were a Naspers shareholder.
Good.
You're richer.
And someone's poorer as well. However, so who's poorer?
However, if this current pricing stays in place, you as a South African shareholder should not opt for the Prosus shares because they're high. You should actually say, no, I don't want Prosus. I'll give me more Naspers because they're much cheaper. So that's the distortion that's happened, is that people who said, I want process. I don't forget the tax. Just put the tax aside for the moment. I want process because it's going in all the global indices. It's on Frankfurt. I want Prosus.
Mm.
But now you will sit back and say, if these prices stay, give me NASPAS, it's cheaper than Prosus. In other words, effectively sell the Prosus shares I was going to get, and give me more NASPAS shares because they're cheaper. So that's in effect the distortion that's happened if today's prices stay in place by Monday. I'd rather buy NASPAS 300 Rand cheaper than get Prosus, which is 300 Rand even more too expensive.
See, you're talking about Prosus and Prosus now, because even you're becoming confused. I would like.
We all get confused.
And you're a clever chap, three decades of experience. I would like to be a farmer now and just grow some wheat and exchange it with my neighbor for chickens or something like that, because the financial services industry has gone mad with what you've just described over the last, let me have a look at my screen here, 9.5 minutes. It's quite extraordinary. What else happened on the market today? Because my internet has gone down, Wayne. What happened today?
Well, look, the Rand's relatively stable, which is good news.
Yes.
Company news-wise, not that much actually came out. Famous Brands gave an update,
yes,
about their operations, which on balance I think was positive. It didn't move the share price, and I suppose that's a good thing. But they gave an overview of their operations, and I found it quite interesting. In South Africa, and they will kill me for using this word, they're fast food restaurants.
What are you supposed to say then? It's not fast food, it's convenience.
Mainstream. Yeah. They call it mainstream. Their mainstream restaurants did, I think, a little bit better than what the market was expecting.
Okay.
Their turnover looked quite good, etc. Then their premium restaurants, I thought, was a little bit disappointing. Okay,
but what is a premium restaurant, according to the Famous Brands portfolio? Tasha's or something?
Yeah, it's Tasha's and the Hussar Grill. That's premium.
Okay.
That looked a little bit disappointing to me. Then the Africa and Middle East, outside of South Africa, showed very good turnover growth. I was quite astonished by that, actually. But then the big one is Gourmet Kitchen Burger in the UK, where they have wasted money hand over fist.
Hundreds of millions.
If not a billion or two.
Yes, exactly.
They've wasted money hand over fist. Now, they closed down a lot of their restaurants. They went into this agreement with their landlords to get the rental dropped or to cancel the lease agreements, all of these things. They've severely chopped the number of restaurants, as I've said. So the total turnover is down quite dramatically. But when you measure the turnover on the stores that are still open, on the restaurants that are still open.
So the like for like, in other words.
Nicely. Like for like was actually up quite nicely, I thought.
Mm,
you know, okay. So maybe we have in fact seen the worst out of Gourmet Kitchen, because I mean, this share price, after being a darling, this thing's been clobbered about 50% in the last 3 years.
You like to eat a burger, don't you? Where would you go for a burger these days in South Africa?
Now, look, there's only one place to go for a burger.
Go on then.
And that's Spur. It is the only burger in town.
And what about a King Steer burger?
No, I don't like steers. But to me, and maybe it's not the burger, but Spur serve the most delicious onion rings.
But that's not a burger. And I'm talking about burgers. I mean, you can have the onion rings on the side.
When you want the plate that's put in front of you as a combination.
Right.
When you buy a burger with Spur onion rings. But however, Lindsay.
Yes.
I make a point of it. Every single time I mention Spur, I've got to mention another thing, and that is they've taken garlic snails off their menu, and I will not forgive them for that.
Well, you also couldn't forgive Woolworths for getting rid of their salt and pepper
calamari.
Yes, exactly.
And every time I mention Woolworths or Spur, I mention those two issues. But let's put that aside for the moment. The environment for fast food is actually not bad in South Africa, even given the current consumer situation, because with all the delivery services you've got now, these guys are making big gains in sales, because it's now so much easier to buy your takeaway and have it delivered to your house with Uber Eats and Mr. Delivery and all of these things.
What is your attitude towards that? Because I always feel that this chap's been on a bicycle, yes, or this girl's been on a bicycle for 22 minutes, cycling through the traffic, dodging cars and taxis and things. And when it gets there, I don't know where it's come from. I prefer to go to the place and sit down and have a glass of whatever it is, and watch them cooking it. But I don't know where this has gone. I mean, they could have got it. This could be secondhand stuff.
You know, you and I are old school. We still like to go to the restaurant and have a bit of an occasion.
Mm.
Lots of people just want to deliver to their house because it's easy and it's convenient. Now, I went to a presentation by one of the fast food chains in South Africa.
Yes.
And they were quite adamant that these guys, Mr. Delivery, Uber Eats, etc., are losing money hand over fist. They say they're trying to gobble market share and get penetration now. But at some stage, they've got to turn their model into a profitable business model. And this chap was concerned that they're going to turn it into a profitable business model by eroding the margin of the people actually supplying the food. Because if you do 25% of your turnover on Uber Eats, yes, they come to you and say, listen, you must cut your price. You're in a corner.
Mm.
You're properly squashed, because you and I at home, if we had to order it, we're not going to pay more. We're not going to double the delivery cost. We'll just say, oh, bugger that. I'll just cook here, or I'll go there and fetch it myself.
Yeah.
So they're very worried that this is going to erode margin in the longer term. But in the shorter term, let's say the next 2-3 years, it's actually very good for their business. I mean, you go to any sort of convenience food outlet now, the tables are half empty, but the queue outside the counter for people waiting to pick up the takeaways is actually massive. I mean, I went to an Indian restaurant the other day. It's a fantastic restaurant, but the place wasn't even half full. It was 1/10 full, but there were 30 delivery guys waiting at the counter to get their orders to take to the house.
That's interesting.
So they couldn't keep up. The kitchen was busy. It was just busy with takeaways.
So what you're saying is, if you're in the restaurant business, you should just have Wayne McCurry's takeaways rather than Wayne McCurry's sit down.
Restaurant, yeah. You should just have a service counter. People then sit down. You should just have a service counter and effectively just do takeaways. But you must remember, you've got to, the key to this, and I think it's also a lot of property owners, the big property owners, must take heed of this.
Yes.
It's no good having your food factory in an industrial area far away from where the people who order it, because you just can't get the food to them quick enough and it'll be cold and all of this. So maybe all of these big shopping centers that we've got, which are conveniently situated to the consumer, you know, maybe you're going to have a lot of these fast food service only type outlets, far smaller floor space, but a lot more of them, a lot more conveniently situated, so you can be within 15 minutes delivery from virtually any customer, because you'll have lots of these distribution outlets. So you won't just have one massive McDonald's somewhere, for example. You might have that services a big area. You might have 5 very small McDonald's that service the same area, but can get the food to you quickly and fresh and hot. I think this is what could happen, actually.
Well, you've made me so hungry. We're going to have to curtail this
conversation. As well,
mate. Yeah, I mean, garlic snails and salt and pepper squid. We have to go, but thanks so much for your insight. You should be a retail analyst, which you probably are as well. That's Wayne McCurry, who's a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment. And that was Wayne on Wednesday. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.